All right, we're going to get into the Word of God today, and I really think that God has given me this for this particular Sunday, and I want to talk today about the trap of offense, the trap of offense. And it seems like today that in our culture that people are getting offended at an alarming rate, and matter of fact, we've kind of made it kind of a virtue to be offended, right? That we celebrate people who are offended. We put the spotlight on them, and it's almost like they become some sort of hero. But I want to tell you today that there is a danger in being offended, that there is a trap that comes with offense. And so we're going to talk about that today. Why don't we lift up our hands real fast? Lord, I pray you would touch every person that's here today. God, I pray that you would move in their life, bless everyone that made the effort to be here, and I pray that you would bless them in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. So I want to get into this today, and the first thing I want to say is, you know, offense divides people, doesn't it? Offense divides people. And whether it's a marriage or family situations, job situations, it gets down to like a divorce. Where it all comes from is somebody got offended, right? And it divides people, and that's why it's a trap. It can bring sin into our life. Somebody offending us. You know, a million people can like something, but all it takes is one person to complain, one person to say that they got their feelings hurt, and we'll shut the whole thing down, won't we? Why? Because offense becomes bitterness. It becomes something that's divisive. And that's why we have to guard it against it in our lives. And I want us to look at Matthew chapter 24 and see what Jesus said in verse 10. He said, "And then many will be offended." He's speaking of the end. He says, "And many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another." Kind of see how this goes. People get offended, then they betray, and then they hate. And that's really how it happens, isn't it? People get offended, they betray, and then they hate. And offense builds like a disease in our life. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19 says this: "A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. And contentions are like the bars of a castle." Well, what defines a strong city? Walls, right? Especially in the context of what this author was writing. That it's walls that protect a city. And when someone gets offended, what happens? They start to build walls in their life. They begin to wall themselves off from other people. They begin to wall themselves off from the offender. And so it becomes hard to win that person back. Why? Because they've built up a wall because of the offense in their life. And you know, in the New Testament, takes this concept and it uses a word that sometimes we over-spiritualize and we don't really know what it means. And that word is stronghold. You know what a stronghold is? It's a wall that keeps you from progressing and from going any further than where you're at. And when we let offense come into our life, it's like we allow a stronghold in our life that will keep us from growing in our relationships. It will keep us from growing in God, and it will keep us from God taking us to where we need to go. And so we need to remove the offenses in our life. We need to look at the people that have offended us and forgive them. And so then there's offense which leads to betrayal. You know what betrayal is? It's when I seek my protection at your cost. Is that when I betray somebody, it says, I'm going to use this relationship for my own interest. And if I have to betray that person by keeping them out, by keeping them out of my life, I will do so to protect myself. That's what betrayal is, right? It's when you put your own interest in a relationship above someone else and you sell them out. And this leads to what? To hatred. Now, many of us, when we think about hatred, you know, we think about, you know, red hot emotions, face getting red, shouting cuss words, that type of thing. But, you know, you can hate somebody and lack any emotion whatsoever. know what hatred is? The biblical definition of hatred is this: a lack of love. A lack of love. It's not that, you know, you're going to go maybe physically hurt that person. Doesn't mean that you're going to send them even a nasty email. It just means that you're not going to love them anymore. You're not going to show them any affection. You're not going to show them any care. And so we have to see that Jesus said in the last days, many people will be offended, which will lead to betrayal, which will lead to hatred. Then look what he says in the next verse, in verse 11. He says, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Who are they deceiving? The offended. And this is very important, and I want you to pay attention to this. The offended heart is the breeding ground for deception. The offended heart is the breeding ground for deception. You know why this is true? Because you think you have a right to be offended. You think you have a right to have a nasty attitude. Well, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they said about me. You don't know, you know, the circumstances. So I have a right to feel this way. I'm telling you, the moment you let that attitude take root in your life, it becomes a breeding ground for deception. Why? Because you think you're right, even though you're dead wrong. Right. Amen. And I've seen this happen many times where people get offended and they open themselves up to deception because they think they are right in their offense. Deceived people have no moral compass. Look what Jesus says in the next two verses. He says, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will what? Grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. All right, so they become offended, which leads to betrayal, which leads to hatred, and then leads to deception. Someone hurt me, and so I'm going to take that offense, and I'm going to let that take root in my life, and I'm going to allow it to skew my perceptions about God's church. I'm going to allow it to skew my perceptions about God himself. And we think we have the right to feel that way because somebody hurts us. And it leads us to have no moral compass. We begin to see evil as good and good as evil. And God says that the love of offended people will grow cold. And notice what he says in the verse 13. He says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. What's that mean? He was talking to the church. He was talking to Christians. He's saying, this is going to happen with people who follow me. They're going to get offended, and it's going to lead to hatred, and it's going to lead to deception. And that's why we have to endure to the end. That's why we have to protect our hearts till the end. That's why we have to keep ourselves from falling into the trap of offense. Amen. So Jesus is speaking to the church. You don't tell unsaved people to endure to the end. Why? Because they're not in it in the first place. He's speaking to the church. And there will be hatred. He's saying there'll be hatred and there'll be deception in the church. You know, and those that can hurt us the most are those who are closest to us, right? Those that can hurt you the most are in this room right now. Why? Because they're supposed to be the good people. They're supposed to be the safe people. We expect more from each other, right? If you call yourself a brother and a sister, you kind of expect some things to happen. And let me tell you that the church is a place where offenses happen. Why? Because we're all sinful people. And so we have to prepare ourselves. And I've seen this happen many times in the church. Person A offends person B. And it might be something that is perfectly rational, a rational offense, we could say, a right to have their feelings hurt, or it could be something that isn't. But either way, they over time, that they let that offense take root in their life, and maybe slowly they're not as involved in church as they used to be, and then maybe they just kind of slip out of the door just very, very subtly. Why? Because it all goes back to somebody hurt their feelings. Which, first of all, nobody hurts your feelings. You know, when we say that, what we really mean is you hurt my ego. You didn't treat me the way I think I'm entitled to be treated. And so they get their feelings hurt, and they begin to project that offense on the whole church, and then they begin to project that whole offense on God. And that's why we have to guard ourselves from this trap, and we have to nail it at its root, because offenses will come. There's two categories of offended people: those who have been genuinely mistreated, and those who think they have been genuinely mistreated. You know, there's been times in my life where I was offended over something that I had no right to be offended of. The person didn't mean it the way I took it. And there's other times where people have legitimately hurt me. But either way, if we don't take care of the issue, it can grow into a monster in our life. And if you have been genuinely wronged, I want to ask you this question. If you've been genuinely wronged, do you have the right to be offended? Do we ever have the right to be offended? You have the right to choose to be offended. God gives us a right to choose everything. But biblically speaking, if you want to walk closely with God, you have no right to be offended, and I'm about to show you. And that goes against everything we're taught in our culture right now, where everything is interpreted through, was that directed towards me? Could be a Facebook post to thousands of people. And you think, well, they must have wrote that to me. They must hate me. And we take everything so personally. Nobody can have an opinion about anything anymore without somebody getting their little feelings hurt. And it's causing division and strife in our society. Why? Because we're all offended all the time. And even Christians are joining in the club. We got offended because Starbucks didn't put Merry Christmas on our coffee cup. So now we're offended, right? Get in line. It's our turn to be offended. How many sometimes it's like, okay, I want to be offended. I want to get in this. Somebody please offend me. And it's like a disease through our society. And I'm going to say it again. If you want a close walk with Jesus Christ, you have no right to be offended. An offended Christian is someone who has forgotten how they offended God. You offend God every day. And does he ever pout? Does he ever leave? Does he ever block you on Facebook, metaphorically speaking? No. And so we have to remember, you know, look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Peter asked him this question, said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Now, in my mind, that's a pretty generous allotment, seven times in one day. And Jesus said, I tell you not seven times, but 70 times seven. Or 77 times. In other words, he's saying your grace should be unlimited. Your ability to resist being offended should be unlimited. Now, there's going to be things that happen where people say things and you're just going to get mad. That happens. That's part of being human. When I talk about being offended, I'm talking about you just let it boil and you just let it sit in your soul and you just stew about it and you just think about it and you dwell on it and you can't get past it. When you see that person, you think of what they did, and you know, all day long it just comes in your mind. That is what being offended is. There's going to be things that happen, and you know, families, going to be things that happen in church, and you know what, you let it roll off your back and you forget about it. But there's going to be some things that are hurtful, and if we're not careful, we let it enter into our spirit and we let it just stew there. That's what I'm talking about being offended. And that's what I'm talking about. We have to forgive. And so here is the danger of offense, okay? Here is the danger of offense. It overwhelms our attention and it robs us of our passion for God. That's why you have no right to be offended. That if you allow offense to stay in your life, it's going to overwhelm your attention. It's going to overwhelm your focus to where you can't even come to church and worship because you see so-and-so on the other side of the room and they hurt me. And so I'm now going to worship them by giving them my attention instead of focusing on what I came here for, and that was worshiping God. That offense will rob you of your passion for God. That's why in my little illustration of person A offending a person B, The reason person B leaves is that offense has overwhelmed their love for God. And they allow that offense to dictate their whole spiritual life. Look at what Paul says in Acts chapter 24, verse 16. He says, "This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and man." He says, I have to strive to do this. In other words, I have to try. I have to make an effort to do this, to constantly avoid having offense with God and with man. And when you think about it, those are the two parties that can bring offense into our life. And I think oftentimes we can get offended at God. We might direct it at other people, but the real issue is we're offended at God. How do we get offended at God? When he doesn't perform like we think he should. When he lets us walk through something that we don't think we should have to go through. When he allows circumstances to come into our life. As a matter of fact, that might be more difficult than people. Because I can handle you hurting me because that's kind of what you're supposed to do, right? You're a fallen, sinful creature. Just saying. Sooner or later, we're going to disappoint one another. So I kind of expect that. What we don't expect is a perfect, blameless God to quote-unquote disappoint us. And I think of John the Baptist gave his whole life to the gospel, preparing the way for Jesus. And he was thrown in prison over some unjust reason. And he's facing death. And he sends his disciples to go search for Jesus. And he's having these questions. Is this really the one? If he's the one, why am I sitting in this prison? If he's the one, why did I devote my life to this cause? And it looks like I'm probably going to die. Anybody else had those questions? Yeah. And look what Jesus says to him. He said, "Go tell John the things that you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them." And look at this last statement. "And blessed is he who is not offended in me." Sometimes we have to guard our hearts from being offended by God. We have to guard our hearts by being offended by false expectations that we have placed upon him. And you know, God in his sovereignty, he has the right to say no. So we have to guard ourselves from being offended by God. And we also have to guard ourselves from being offended by other people. Every day there will be an opportunity for you to be offended. And it doesn't make you an awesome person. It doesn't make you special. It doesn't mean everybody should dance around you. It just means, guess what? Welcome to the planet like everyone else. Every day you have an opportunity to be offended. And we must make a conscious effort, like Paul said, to not fall into the trap of offense, to not be offended by God or by man. So how do we do this? How do we avoid the trap of offense? Number one, we pray for those who hurt us like we would pray for ourselves. Why? We really don't like that, do we? You know, sometimes people say following Jesus is easy. Just show them this verse right here. Just show them what Jesus says in Matthew 5:44. "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." That is one of the hardest verses in the Bible. When you can enter into that person's shoes who's offended you, and you can begin to pray for their family like you pray for your family. When you begin to pray that God will bless them like he wants him to bless you, that is how you guard offense in your life. When you start to enter into their shoes and you see, you know what, they are a sinful person just like I am who needs a lot of grace. So God, I'm asking you, give them grace. God, I'm asking you that you would give them grace just like I'm asking for your grace. That's how you avoid offense in your life. When something happens at work, when something happens, in church, whatever it is, begin to pray for that person that God would love them. And I want to tell you, when you do that, God will give you a love for that person in your heart. I'm telling you, if everybody practiced that right there, the world would change overnight. Yes, it would. That the divisions we see in our country, the divisions that we see in our families, the divisions we see in our churches would be gone overnight if we would pray for one another like we want God to bless us. So that's the first thing that we do. And, you know, I think about Jesus. What did he say on the cross? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus, never do we see him in that whole experience of his crucifixion, getting his little feelings hurt, saying, I can't stand you all. I hope God judges every one of you. He never did that. All we see is grace and forgiveness. Why? Because he did not, even in the toughest time of his life, if there was ever a person who had the right to be offended, it is a perfect God who left heaven and came to earth. And we crucify. That's a person who has a right to be offended. But he didn't let it take root in his life. David said in Psalm 35, verse 12, he says, they repay me evil for good and leave me like one bereaved. Yet when they were ill, look what he says, yet when they were ill, I put on sackcloth and humbled myself with fasting. When my prayers returned to me unanswered, I went about mourning as though my friend or brother. I bowed my head in grief as though weeping for my mother. David said that when they attacked me, when I was given the opportunity to defense, I went to my knees in prayer for them, like it was my own brother, sister, mother. And so the only way you cannot get sucked into the trap of offense is to constantly pray for those who hurt you. And then we make a move towards them of reconciliation. And it's not in a way that says, oh, just so you know, you offended me. Never glorify the offense. Glorify the reconciliation. You know what usually works is when you ask for forgiveness for somebody for thinking bad thoughts because they offended you. And that breaks the walls down. That breaks down the divisions between people. The second thing that we do to avoid offense is to immerse ourselves in God's word and his love for us. Psalm 119:65 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and what? Nothing shall offend them. You know, wouldn't that be an incredibly liberating lifestyle to walk through life and know that no matter what happens today, I'm not going to be offended? I imagine that if you could live that way, that would be a pretty happy life. But instead, we've become offended by everything, and we're more unhappier. We're unhappier than ever. We're all miserable. Getting offended doesn't make it better. It only makes it worse. So we avoid offense by measuring ourselves in God's word and thinking about his love for us. And people that are chronically offended, here's really the root of the problem, is they don't know God's love for them. Either they don't know or they don't trust God's love for them. And they're always looking for validation from other people. They get their love from other people. They get their source of love from other people. And guess what? We're going to disappoint you. And so they're constantly offended. Well, so-and-so didn't look at me the right way, or so-and-so didn't send me a happy birthday text. And some, you know, always this line of offenses that's coming their way. Why? Because you're looking for other people for your love. When you realize how much God loves you, how much God has done for you, you don't need a whole cheering section every time you get up every day. That is enough to know God loves me. That's all I need. People who are easily offended are probably insecure. And it all goes back to they're insecure in who they are and God. Once you know who you are in Christ, it's very, very difficult to offend you. Luke chapter 17, verse 1 says this, then he said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. I'm going to give you a money-back guarantee. You ready? you will get offended at this church. Just stick around long enough. Jesus said, offenses will come. Why? We're human. None of us here are Jesus. And then what he uses this word for offense, it's a Greek word that's scandalon. And this word refers to a bait stick that was in a trap. And so he's saying that offense is like a trap that keeps us from progressing with God. It keeps us from our relationship with God. Look what the NIV of this verse says. He says, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. Notice he says, woe to anyone. In other words, watch out. Be careful. Be aware of this. Why? Because it's going to happen. You be around me long enough. Let me tell you, I'm probably going to offend you. If you hang around me long enough, I'm going to say something insensitive. I'm going to say something that I shouldn't say, do something I shouldn't do. That's why we can't put our faith in people. We put our faith in God. And being offended, it's a trap. It is a trap of Satan to get you distracted. It's a trap of Satan to tear your family apart. It's a trap of Satan to tear away the unity of this church. He would love nothing more than somebody to say something and that's maybe hurtful and someone to get offended and let them just let that in their spirit. And over time, they fall out of their relationship with God. They fall out of their church family. Why? Over one offense. It is a trap of Satan that you have to continually guard against every day. I want to tell you, being offended doesn't solve anything. God doesn't give you a badge. God doesn't stand up in heaven and say, bless their little heart. They got their feelings hurt. Everything stop. Let's look at little Susie. She got her feelings hurt today. She's offended. We're going to suspend the rules for her because she got her feelings hurt. I want to tell you, that doesn't happen. The only loser in perpetual offense is you. The only person that gets hurt when you hold on to offenses is yourself. That's why you have to constantly walk in grace and forgiveness. It doesn't make you a better person when you are offended. It doesn't make you a better Christian when you are offended. All it is a trap to keep you from going where God wants you to go. Here's what happens when we get offended. Remember what Proverbs said? It's like a wall. A brother offended builds a wall. It's like a walled city. You know what that's speaking of? When we get offended, we harden our hearts. We harden our hearts towards that person. And if we're not careful, we harden our hearts towards God. We harden our hearts towards His church. And that's why we have to protect our hearts and keep offense from gaining root in our spirit. Have you ever met somebody that an offense just controlled their spirit, their inner being? It's like you just feel the anger of that offense. Maybe you're here today and something happened to you, and maybe you, quote unquote, have the right to be offended. But that offense has built into your heart to where maybe you walked in here today and everybody else is feeling the presence of God. Everybody else is feeling the Holy Spirit. And you can't get there. Why? Because in your heart, you're holding on to that offense. It might have been something that happened at church with a church friend. It might have been a family issue in your childhood. But I want to tell you, I don't care what the circumstance is, you got to let it go. Because it's going to eat you alive. And it doesn't make you better. It doesn't make you more righteous. all it does is make you miserable and make you hurt. If you have to forgive somebody in your heart today, I want to tell you, there is absolutely unbelievable freedom that comes when you let go of offense in your life. When you can live every day with getting up and say, you know what, no matter what happens today, I'm not going to hold on to offense in my life. I'm not going to hold on to bitterness. I'm not going to hold on to unforgiveness. There's been people that's been out of your life for 30, 40 years, and they are controlling your spiritual future over something they did or said. Let go and experience the freedom of God today. Why don't we stand to our feet? I want to say this. God has given you the choice to be offended or not. You have to choose to no longer hold on to that offense. I wonder if we can close our eyes today. If there's anybody here today, you need to just let go of some stuff. Every eye closed across this building, we can just focus on God's presence right now. He's moving. Somebody's destiny can hang on this moment. Maybe there's somebody that's hurt you deeply, disappointed you deeply, has offended you deeply. I want to challenge you right now, let it go. In Jesus' name. The only person that can help us let it go is Jesus. That Jesus has forgiven us. Jesus has forgiven our offenses towards Him. Therefore, you can forgive that person with the help of Jesus Christ. And today, if you have never asked God to forgive you of your offenses, we need to do that right now, because you can't forgive other people until that relationship with Him is right. So I wonder if we lift up our hands all across this building right now. And I want you just to pray this simple prayer. Say, Lord, everybody say, Lord, forgive my offenses towards you. And help me to forgive other people's offenses towards me. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, touch every person, Lord, here today. I pray anybody, Lord, that struggles, Lord, with perpetual offense, who struggles with perpetual bitterness, God, I pray, Jesus, Lord, that they could see that there's freedom beyond offense, God, and that comes through you, God. I pray, Lord, anybody here today, God, that's been dealing with you, God, and Lord, that they feel today's the day to get baptized, Lord, I pray, God, give them courage, God. I pray, God, bless every person here today, bless every home. God, I pray against the spirit of offense that would try to divide our families. Lord, help us to walk tenderhearted, full of love and forgiveness with you, God. Lord, so that we can be unified and we can be your people. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.